to church. A special welcome to those who are visiting us today online, and a welcome to all visitors. My name is Simon. Helping in today's service are our musicians Sam and Rosemary. Leading to us from the Bible will be Irene, and leading us in prayer is Fiona, and Trevor will bring our Bible teaching. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way according to his word, the Bible. So we invite you to know God with us. Today's Bible teaching, How Long, O Lord? Trevor, would you like to give us an intro, please?
Well, welcome everyone. It's good to be back again and be back with you all. We've had a lovely little couple of weeks holiday up north, but it's good to be back with you all again. Anthony was supposed to preach today, but yesterday we got a phone call from him to say that he's unwell, so we'll pray for him. And so I'm preaching today on Psalm 13 today. So it's a psalm in such a contrast to what we've been hearing from Daniel in the past. The confidence of both Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and Daniel, and despite what they went through. And you remember from what was being taught to you Cameron. But the big idea, what was the big idea again of Daniel? You remember? I know he asked you this because I listened in.
God is in control.
God is despite appearances, God is in control. And today we're actually seeing a contrast to that. We're seeing King David actually in a prayer, in a song, be such a contrast. But it reflects our own lives as well too. And so what are we supposed to do? What's the right thing to do? What does God require of us to help us when we go through what this psalm, this prayer, this song teaches?
Just a reminder about our mission focus this month is Toys and Tucker. The sense of scripture today comes from Psalm 145, verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. Please stand and join with us in our first song. Sing unto the Lord a new song.
Sing unto the Lord a new song.
please take a moment to greet people near you as the children now leave us for Kids Church. It's very lovely to see the welcoming of everybody. Please be seated. We have come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building of His church. Christ Himself bore our sin in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By His wounds we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve Him as He deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together. Heavenly Father, You have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own ways and rejected Your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of Your Son, who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By Your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for You and to please You in every way. For the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Give praise to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive Your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is from Psalm 13. Please follow along on the insert in your notes or on the screen.
How long, Lord, will You forget me forever? How long will You hide Your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in Your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in Your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for He has been good to me. This is the word of the Lord.
Before I go on, have you all got a pen? You all got a pen? Has anyone not got a pen? Because they can get one from the front of the church. They haven't got one already. If I've not got one, because you'll need to write things down today. In the sermon outlines. A bit of work to do with the hands and the minds to help us to remember. Thanks, Janice. If you need one, just put up your hand. She's gone to get it for us. So open up your Bibles to Psalm 13. Thanks, Irene, for reading that psalm out to us. And or into your handout, you'll find it printed there for you as well. I like songs. And I like singing, and I think if you don't realise that, you haven't learnt much about me, all right? I love to sing, and sometimes people tell me to sing solo, we can't hear you. But I love to sing, and I like songs. Is that true for you too as well? Some of you might think, this might be what you're thinking, your voice is not good enough to sing in choirs or to be heard and things, you know. But take heart, you know, God says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all right, and rejoice in that way. Songs and writing of songs can be a powerful and fulfilling experience that allows us to express ourselves and to connect with others and to tap into our creativity and our emotions. And I gather it's one of the reasons why many people are joining choirs today. They don't get the experience as we do, week in and week out, of singing together in church. I admit I've never written a song, but I've written poetry. Going to church regularly, like we do here, we sing a lot. We sing more than anybody else does in the world. The only other person who would add to this, if you go to church and actually support an AFL team as well, or a soccer team, you know, where you sing in the crowds. I think today the only time people really sing, that other than Christians that go to church, are when they go to sport events and they sing the national anthem, or they stand and hear it. We get to sing lots and lots. And like all of us, and singing seemingly is in fact really good for our overall well-being and health. I'm told it increases the lung capacity, and when we sing, it increases physical, mental, emotional, and even spiritual, as we would agree, well-being amongst us and health. It improves our memory, we're told. It increases those, I've written it down here, serotonin and dopamine. Is that right, Rosemary? Dopamine, that's right. Seemingly they're the happy chemicals that God's put into our bodies. The happy chemicals that make us feel good and improve confidence. So singing does that, makes us feel good and increases our confidence. And for those of us who don't like to exercise, seemingly singing is an aerobic activity. It's been told, it's listed as an aerobic activity because it increases the lung capacity and also enables oxygen to flow through our blood and increases circulation around the place. And because of all these things, it increases life, increases lifespan. There you go. Singing's good. Another good reason for coming to church. There we go. Like all of us over the years, we've heard many songs, and some songs actually become very special to us, either for personal reasons or for some way of connecting with the story or the emotion that the song actually displays or reveals. Here are the top four reasons, I'm told, why people write songs. One, to share our stories and emotions with the world. Putting words to song is a way of communicating our thoughts, feelings, and experiences to others. By putting our emotions into words, we can create a sense of connection and understanding with our listeners. We can let them know how we're actually feeling, if not in a word to them face to face, but in a song we can tell them. It inspires us to think about our own lives and their lives in the words of a song. It's one of the reasons why people write songs. Another reason is to process and to make sense of our own experiences. Writing a song can be a therapeutic way to process and release difficult emotions, whether they're expressing anger, sadness, or joy. Putting our words to song can be a really helpful experience and help us make sense in some ways to our feelings and to cope with them. Thirdly, to connect with others and create a sense of community. When we share our stories and experiences through the words of a song, we open ourselves to others. We join with them in saying the same things, singing the same things, feeling the same feelings, and creates an opportunity of connecting and understanding and belonging. Through a shared common emotional experience, songs can be a way to create a sense of community and belonging. And again, that's why we sing songs in church when we meet together. And fourthly, to inspire and motivate others. Whether it's thought, the words that encourage perseverance and determination, or ones that remind us to appreciate the beauty in the world around us and all that is good and true, songs can have a powerful impact on our lives and the lives of others. What do we learn of David from his psalm today? Yes, it's written by, as you'll see in your Bible there, it's written by David, King David. And because it's a prayer to God, what do we learn from what he actually says to God in his prayer? Prayers tell us a lot about what we believe in God. The way we pray tells us what we think about God, what we believe about him, and how we respond to him in circumstances. So what do we learn about David from the psalm, the prayer that he's written here? And since it's a prayer that has been published and put to song, you'll see there at the top of the psalm itself, under the heading, Psalm 13, that's actually in the Bible there. It says there is a for the director of music. It's meant to be a prayer that has now gone into song. And if you've come from a traditional Anglican background in the past, you may have sung psalms at church in the past. So what do we learn about David from the fact that he's, and what do we learn about, more importantly, about God from his prayer that he's put to song? And what are others meant to learn? Let's look firstly at verses 1 through 2. Let me read them to you again. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? I mentioned at the beginning, didn't I, in the service today, what a contrast this is to what we've heard from Daniel 1, 2 and 3 of the attitude to God of those men in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the face of opposition, in the face of enemies, in the face of persecution. These men in the past there that we heard, the big idea of Daniel was to remind us through their experience and through what we learn of God, that God is in control despite the appearances, despite the circumstances. God knows the future. God knows the present. God's been in the past. He's unfolding his purposes for the good of those who love him. And these four men knew this in the past and trusted God. Where everything else seems to be falling apart and everyone losing their temper and going, insecure, these men stay stable and focused on what they knew about God despite facing death and circumstances. And here, the leader of God's people, the king, David, is praying something totally very different, isn't it, in terms of attitude. But it's a prayer we can identify with, isn't it? It's a prayer I think I'm glad is here. So often we might think that in the Bible it should just have, we gloss over all the bad bits, all the bits that we don't want, and it all seems to be, we want everything that looks really smooth and comfortable and glossy. But the Bible doesn't do that. The Bible puts in, warts, the whole lot, the miserable, the doubts, the fears, the whole lot in it, so that we don't focus on God's people. We don't focus on the circumstances. We don't focus on the feelings, but on the facts, on who God is and what he's doing despite experiences and circumstances in our lives at this time. David, I'm sure you must agree with me. He feels forgotten by God. He says it. How long will you forget me? He feels as if it's going to go on forever and ever and ever. He feels like God has forgotten him. He feels also ignored by God. How long will you hide your face from me? When do we hide our face from someone? When we turn our back to them, when we're ashamed of them, or we want to ignore them or not acknowledge them. David feels ignored by God. He feels ashamed. He feels as if God is ashamed of him. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? He feels abandoned. He feels lost. He feels confused. He feels alone. He feels without hope, and he feels broken, and he feels depressed. Day after day, have sorrow in my heart. And how long will my enemy triumph over me? He's afraid. He's humiliated. He's fearful of being abandoned, expecting vindication. He's looking for good to triumph over evil. He's looking for deliverance. He's looking for salvation. He's looking for being rescued. He's looking for God, who's meant to be true and good and all in control. Show yourself to be such. think we can identify at some point in our life with how David is feeling. Can't we? In all honesty? Yeah, I think so. If we're all truly honest, we go through these times of doubt and fear, even the greatest ones. Without feeling emotional myself, this year's been a really tough year for me, with a number of little things that have happened in my life over the last 12 months. Nothing for you to worry about or be concerned about, but it's been a tough year for me. A number of things have happened. And at one time I was in a bit of a dark space and felt like this. How does David respond? He says there in verse 3, "Look on me." You can almost feel it. "Look on me and answer, Lord my God." It can be read as being desperate. It can be read as being angry. It can be read as being pleading or begging or even demanding. God, look on me and answer me. My God, my Lord. There's hope there, isn't there, in what he says about God and how he responds to God. It's wonderful that our Lord, when asked to teach us how to pray, began to teach us by saying, call on him as our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Come to me. Look on me, he prays. Answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, there, looking at verse 3. And I think we would sort of say, yeah, maybe that's where the phrase a dark place comes from. He's in a dark place. He's lost. He sees no way out. He's fearful. Or I will sleep in death. There's this sense of being slipped out of the hands of God, to be forgotten and slipped away and just forgotten. And he's, I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of being, being no way out. Helpless, without hope. And he feels defeated. My enemy will say, I've overcome him, Lord. There's a kind of a sense of calling upon God. God, look what it says to you. Look what it says about you if you let me stay in this state. Your enemies, my enemies, will triumph. They'll think, what's his hope that this Christian's this is God? My foes will rejoice. There's even the reminder that they will gloat over what appears to be God's failure to respond and to react. Despite appearances, despite circumstances, God is in control. God is always working his purposes out for good for those who love him. We may not feel it at times, like David. But what does David do? Look here at verse 5 and 6. But. Buts in the Bible are good. I had to say that, all right? But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. What does David do? What can we learn from what God causes David to do when he felt this way that we can take on as well? He does a number of R's, and I'll get you to write them all down a bit later on, but just the few of the R's that he does, not reading, writing and arithmetic, all right? He does a few R's here. Firstly, he remembers. He remembers who God is and what he has done, doing and has promised to do. He remembers who God is. He recalls from God's word what he has said about himself and God's part in the situation he has found himself in. He responds by trusting God at his word. And he reacted as God would and would expect of him, with patient, non-judgmental, loving understanding. And he reminded himself of these things. And he let himself rejoice in who God is, what he has done, does, and will do in word and song, despite the circumstances he found himself in and appearances. And he did so that others who went through the same circumstances might know it too. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise. Why? For he has been good to me. He remembers the past and he applies it to the present and to the future. So how has God been good to David? Well, look, we're not told specifically in this psalm, but what we do know from other psalms that David wrote, we do know that this is, and in other similar situations, that God has answered his prayer, that God has listened to him, God has looked upon him, God has saved him. Let me read to you Psalm 18, verse 3, 47 to 48. I apologize, but they're not up on the screen. I called to the Lord, writes David, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me, Lord, above my foes. From a violent man, you rescued me. That was Psalm 18. Psalm 145, which is our sentence for scriptures for today. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger and rich in love to me. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who have bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. That's Psalm 145. Psalm 34. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall, writes David. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice and shouts of joy. I will sing and I will make music to the Lord. That's Psalm 27 verses 1 to 6 and Psalm 42. I'm sure you know this one. As the deer pants for the streams of water. Remember it? So my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God, he writes. Is that your prayer? All right? Maybe if you're 80 or 90, that's maybe you're praying that. But when you're 20 or 30 or young, 15, 16, yeah? When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. From the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from the mount of Mizar, deep calls to deep in the roar of the waterfalls. All your waves and breakers swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? But why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Psalm 42. But what about us? What about us? The emotions, the feelings David experienced, we too feel from time to time. What are we to do that is right and helpful for us? Let me remind you of Scripture. It reminds you of what God's Word says. Here are a number of verses. John 16:33. Here is the reality. Here is the truth. When feelings overcome and we doubt the facts, remember, we follow Mr. Facts, or Mrs. Facts, not Mrs. Feelings or Mr. Feelings, right? We follow Mr. Fact by being Mr. Faith, with Mr. Feelings following behind. If feelings are great servants, they are terrible masters. We follow the facts. Here are the facts. John 16, verse 3. Jesus has said, in this world you will have trouble. It's not meant to be easy. It's not meant to be heaven here. In a way, it's not helpful for us to pray and expect heaven to be here. Heaven's coming. Heaven's there for us, and it will be there for us. But in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. John 16, verse 33. For the Lord has been good to me. John 3, 16 and 17. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Romans 5, 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, enemies, Christ died for us. John 4, verses 9 to 10. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 8. But, there's another but. But God, because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and has seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Ephesians 2. Romans 8, 39, neither height now, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Galatians 2, 20, I have been crucified now with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I'm to live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, Jesus said. Rejoice and be glad. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Philippians 4, verses 4 and 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is coming. In other words, the word near there. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. What? Yes, the fact says, in all circumstances, give thanks. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God, who is good all the time, has a perfect and good will in all circumstances for us, no matter what they might be, seemingly in appearances. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. 1 Peter 4:12 to 15. We need to hear the facts. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should be not for being a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even for as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs, from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. In 2 Timothy 3:12 to 17, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learnt and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And finally, Psalm 145, 13 again. A sentence for Scripture today. The Lord is faithful to all he promises and loving towards all he has made. Here are the things. The seven R's, I think they are. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Pick up your pens. All right, pick up your pens And in a little bit where it says sermon outline, sermon summary, or things I'd like to remember or need to remember, write these things down. Write these words down. First is remember. When you're doubting God, when you're going through Psalm 13, remember. Remember who God is and how God has been good to you. Remember. Second one, recall. It is different. Recall. Recall from his word, the Bible, what he has said about himself and God's part in the situation that you find yourself in. Recall is the second word. Remember, recall. Third thing, realize. Realize. Realize it has always been the work of the evil one from time to time since creation to get us to doubt God as his word. Remember, realize, what did the evil one say to Adam and Eve? Did God really say that? Yes, he did. Realize what's going on, okay? Don't be afraid of it. Realize what's going on. When you're going through that, okay, remember, recall, realize. Next, respond. Respond by trusting God at his word. Trusting God at his word. We may have many ideas about somebody. You may have many ideas about who I am, what I like, what my favourite food is, what I like to do for a hobby. You might have all these, but until I open my mouth and tell you what they are, you only have ideas. You don't have the facts. When God tells us what he is and what he's like, they are the facts. Trust him at his word. React. Because there will be times when our brothers and sisters will go through times of doubt and fear also, react. React as God would, with patient, non-judgmental, loving understanding of others. Okay? React. Remind. Remind each other of these things. Remembering, recalling, realizing, responding, and reacting. Remind each other of these things. And finally, rejoice. Rejoice. Remember, we don't follow Mr. Feelings. We follow Mr. Fact. Rejoice. Rejoice in who God is, what he has done, does, and will do in word and song. Psalm 13. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being good to us. And that word good is more than the worldly understanding of what good is. It is perfectly everything that is good. It is perfection, goodness, all that we desire, all that we need. Lord, we thank you that when we have our doubts, when we have our fears, when we feel like David felt, we can pray that way. Help us to remember. Remember who you are. Remember to recall your word. to realize it's always been to doubt you at your word, to respond by trusting you at your word, to react with loving, patient, non-judgmental, to remind each other of the facts, and to rejoice in who you are, God, and what you've promised to do for us and will do and are doing in our lives. Amen. Let's sing again. I think we're singing again. Yes, put a new song in my heart. What a great song to sing now.
Firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Almighty God, ruler of the nations of the earth, give wisdom to Charles, the King of Australia, to Anthony Albanese, to Peter Dutton, to Chris Minns, and all the members of our Parliament, and all who hold office in this land. Grant that their decisions may be based on wise counsel, so that peace and welfare, truth and justice may prevail among us, and make us a blessing to other nations. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Loving Father, we pray for your world. We pray that you would give wisdom and integrity to the new leader of the Maldives, President Mohamed Mouizou. We long, Lord, both for the Middle East, Ukraine, and other areas of war, that there may be a breakthrough in a positive way forward that can lead to peace and harmony, that schools and hospitals can be used for education and healing and not be bombed anymore. We pray for justice to prevail in the Trump court case, and we pray, Lord, for those affected by the tunnel disaster in India. May they know your peace, your presence, your care for them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Anglicare and the way they seek to serve people in need in this community. We pray, Lord, that they would receive generous donations. We thank you for all the volunteers. And we pray, Lord, for those who receive, that they would be able to have thankful hearts and see beyond the gift to you, the giver of all good gifts, that they may know you, love you, and serve you. We pray, Heavenly Father, for your church. May it be guided and governed by your good spirit, so that all who profess and call themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth, hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. We give thanks that there have been many adult baptisms in the UAE. Thank you for that. And we thank you and praise you too that the broadcasting, Christian broadcasting in Indonesia, has won 2 awards for the top 5 children-friendly radio station and the most influential Christian radio. Lord, we also commend to your fatherly goodness all those in any ways afflicted or distressed, taking a silent moment now to bring those people before you. May it please you, Lord, to comfort and relieve them according to their needs, giving them patience in their sufferings and a happy issue out of all their afflictions. And all this we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. A prayer for renewal. O Lord our God, you have given us the gift of life, and when we abuse it, you restore us that we may try again. You are both a conservationist and a restorationist. You work within us to conserve that which we never quite lose, the sense of the holiness of life that we never quite obliterate, the reverence we feel at least occasionally, and the wonder we know now and again. Your spirit works within to deepen and broaden our appreciation for the gift of life. For that we are grateful. When left to ourselves, we grow careless and blunder along, bumping into other people and jostling them aside, stomping on flowers and tromping across the grass. We forget to pray and neglect praise. We thank you for continuing to work within us, making us restless when we forget you and discontented with our clumsy handling of life. Deliver us from ever settling down, satisfied in rude rejection of love and faith and hope. Restore us, Lord, for we need restoration. Don't put us back into the shape that we once were. Those experiences that have marred us, even scarred us, and given our lives its weather-beaten quality, are the experiences by which we learn and grow. May we be refurbished within, that our mind may be refurnished, our heart redecorated with joy and gladness, and our spirit delight to praise you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join with me as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord, we pray, absolve your people from our offences, that through your bountiful goodness we may be set free from the chains of those sins which in our frailty we have committed. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Announcements. A reminder to everyone that the Gingerbread House afternoon is coming up, Saturday the 2nd of December. Please join us for a fun afternoon and complete the booking forms. This month, we are focused on Share and Joy, the Toys and Tucker. Please leave your gifts in the foyer. A list of suggestions and donations are also available. And a reminder, please do not wrap them. Also, a big thank you. Thank you to all who have cooked. And the guests have said these things are made of real butter. And they're overwhelmed. Great things God is doing in Woman's Kairos 21. And a reminder that next Sunday, our local bishop, Michael Stead, will be coming to speak with us. Thank you for regularly supporting financially Abbotsford Anglican Church, online or via the offertory box at the back of the church. Prayers after service. Would you like prayer after service? Junglin and Tony would be happy to pray for you. Please come to the front of the church. As always, please stay if you can for morning tea. Our final hymn today, It Is Well With My Soul. Please stand.
Thanks.
reminder of the scripture sentence for today. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please join us for morning tea.